tonight's sermon is why I am a fundamentalist. Why I am a fundamentalist. The part of the chapter I want to focus on in Jeremiah chapter number 6 is verse number 16. Verse number 16, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And then they respond, of course, Israel, but they said, "We will not walk therein." The title of the sermon is "Why I Am a Fundamentalist." Now, in our nation's history, we were once what would be known as a Christian nation. I do not believe that we are a Christian nation any longer at all. I look at the United States of America, and I look at the way that it has digressed away from God. And today, people may claim Christianity, but the majority of people are not Christians. They are not Christians by any standard. Never was the majority of people in our nation saved. Never were they saved. You study the history, that's very obvious. There was a lot of false religions, which would be from Protestantism, just, you know, forms of Catholic, where they came out of Catholicism, where it came out of the Catholic Church. But there was a time where our nation actually stood for the principles of the Bible. They actually, the people of our nation, in a sense, did believe the Bible. Now, all societies and all nations and all cultures, you know, let's say this, there are many cultures, there are many nations, there are many societies. Let's look at Israel as an example and the United States as an example as well. There was a time in which they were a righteous nation. There was a time in which they stood for the Bible. They believed the Bible. But because man is sinful, over time, that will digress. That will go downhill. They will decline. And that is what happened of what we are reading about here. Now, I shouldn't even have to say that I'm a fundamentalist. I want you to understand what the word fundamentalist means tonight and why on our side we are independent fundamental Baptists. So this is an important, you know, sermon for you tonight so that you understand why we say or why we label ourselves independent fundamental Baptists. And this is the reason why I even have to say that I'm a fundamental Baptist. It's because there are so many people out there that say that they are a Christian, that claim to even be a Baptist, but they do not believe in the fundamentals of the faith, the basic points, the basic principles of the faith. Here in Jeremiah chapter number 6, God speaks unto Israel and tells them, "Hey, I want you to go back to the old ways, the ways that people used to do things." And that's what we stand for here at Valley Baptist Church. Amen. Now today we look at Christianity, and we do not fit in at all. Fundamental, you know, the fundamental Baptist, Valley Baptist Church, we do not fit in with most Baptists. We do not fit in with most Christians. And I'll tell you why. Because we actually believe the Bible. That's the difference. Right. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. What it means to be a fundamentalist. What it means to believe in the fundamentals of the faith. I want you to turn, my first point is going to be in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16, the Bible reads, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy, I meant 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16, sorry about that. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16, I'm so used to preaching from 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16, the Bible says, "All Scripture," speaking of the Bible, of course, "all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." The very first step of being a fundamentalist is believing that the Bible is God's Word. Actually believing that the words that you have in your hand are the very words that the Holy Creator spoke, that He spoke. We believe that the King James Bible in particular is the perfect, pure, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I don't believe that you can take this book, you can critique it for the rest of your life. I don't care if you're a theologian. I don't care what, you know, abbreviation you have before your name. I don't care what you've done. You can study every manuscript on this planet. You will not convince me that this book has an error. Because I actually believe the Bible. I actually believe what God says. That's what it really comes down to. Psalm chapter number 12, verse number 6, the Bible says this, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord," so the words, "thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Not only was it the words, them was not only just referring to the words, it's referring to pure words. So I should somewhere today be able to go and find a perfect, pure word of God. I should be able to find something that's pure, that's been tried in the fire 7 times, that's perfect, just as perfect as gold would be if it was tried in the first verse 7 times. And it's in the King James Bible. Right. All these other people that claim to believe the Bible, they read the NIV, the New King James. You really press those people, they don't really believe the Bible half the time. Most of those people, they don't even believe what it actually says. And what it means to be a fundamentalist, point number one, is to believe that the Bible is actually the Word of God. To believe that it is the Word of God. I want you to turn in your Bibles now to 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 21. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 21. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 21. The Bible says this, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." So the prophecy is speaking of Scripture. It's speaking of the Word of God. It's saying that it wasn't the will of man. It wasn't man's words. Then it says this, "But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." I believe that when Jeremiah sat down to write the book of Jeremiah, when he was writing down Jeremiah chapter number 6, verse number 16, I don't believe that was Jeremiah's will. I don't believe that was the will of man, that he conjured up these words out of his heart. I believe that God had his spirit come upon that man, and I believe that he was seated somewhere, that he was speaking the words to someone, however this scenario worked out, and that those words were penned down. I believe that those words can be traced back to Jeremiah's mouth and then back to the mouth of God in heaven. I believe that with my whole heart. That's the first reason why I am a fundamentalist, because I actually believe that the Bible is God's Word. You would be very surprised, especially when, you know, if you've only grown up in a fundamentalist church, if you've only been around fundamental Baptists, independent Baptists, you would be very surprised when you go to churches that say, "Hey, I'm a Christian." You start asking them what they believe about the Bible, and they don't believe that the Bible is really God's Word. They don't really believe that God is the one that spoke these words, that God really inspired all of this. They'll start making statements to you like, "Well, you know, man wrote the Bible." You start bringing things out that offend them. What do they say? "Man wrote that. Paul didn't really write that. Paul hated women." You know, and you'll hear all kinds of weird stuff. I've heard that tons of times. Paul was a false prophet, all this. People that don't really believe the Bible. That's what it really comes down to. I shouldn't even have to say that I'm a fundamentalist. I should just be able to say I'm a Christian. But I have to break things down so specific. I'm not only a Christian, I'm a Baptist. So that right there separates me into this other category. There's certain principles that I believe as a Baptist. But then, even the Baptists started to apostatize. Even the Baptists started to not believe the Bible. So you know what you have to do? You have to separate yourselves from them even more. I'm not only a Baptist, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. There are Baptists out there that don't even really believe the Bible. Pastors will stand up and claim to be Baptists, and they don't even believe the Bible. They don't even believe that the Bible is God's Word. We are a fundamental Baptist, number one, because we believe that the Bible is God's Word. Not only just the Bible, we can actually point you to the Bible. The King James Bible. A lot of people say that, but then they won't really be able to tell you what they're talking about. All the originals, they're original. They've never seen the originals. They have no clue what the original said, but supposedly believe in it.
Right.
That makes no sense at all.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and then they'll point all kinds of errors out in your Bible, but then they don't even know what it actually said when it was originally written down. They just don't. What do you know it comes down to? They just don't believe the Bible at all.
That's true.
I want you to turn your Bibles now to, have you turn, second point. I want you to go to Acts chapter number 27. Verse number 25. Acts chapter number 27, verse number 25. We're only going to have a couple of scriptures that we turn to tonight. It's a very simple subject, but I want, because it's on our sign, I want everyone to understand why we say that we are fundamentalists. I don't want somebody to ask, you know, what kind of church you go to. We go to an independent fundamental Baptist church. And then they ask you, you know, what does it mean to be a fundamentalist? And you don't have any idea. I want you to understand what it means to be a fundamentalist. The number one thing is that we believe that the Bible is God's Word. We believe the fundamentals of the faith. Point number two is we believe that the Bible is God's Word. And we believe that the Bible is to be taken literally. Now, there are very rare exceptions. And let me explain this to you up front. There are very rare exceptions when the Bible is speaking in parables. Very rare exceptions. And do you know how you know when the Bible is speaking in parables? It tells you. Well, you know how you know whether something's figurative? It tells you that it's figurative. You know how you know that you're not supposed to try to interpret it? The Bible will tell you. And here's the other principle. So that's principle number one. You know, when is it a parable? When is this figurative? It'll tell you, number one. Number two is if it's not possible to be literal. Those are your only two times where you need to interpret something not in not being literal. I want you to look at Acts chapter number 27, verse number 25. Acts chapter number 27, verse number 25. This is Paul speaking when he is on the ship. He's being taken to Rome. And he makes a statement when the storm arises. He says this. He says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." Now watch what he says. "That it shall be even as it was told me." Notice how he worded that. "For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Did he have to feel like he had to interpret what God had told him? Did he feel like there was some sort of parable or this was a cryptic saying? 99% of the Bible is super clear. That's why people don't like the Bible, my friend, is because the Bible is so clear. Almost every verse in the Bible is just as plain as the nose on your face. It is. It's very easy to understand. You can just read it to a child and a child can understand. I mean, grasp that concept. You can point to any verse in this book and understand it almost immediately. Now, there are deeper doctrines comparing things, scripture with scripture. You grow in knowledge. You grow in a specific understanding of something. But I'm speaking individually on it, just looking at a specific verse. 98% of the Bible. God is not the author of confusion, the Bible says. The Bible is not confusing, and that's why most people, you know, don't like it, because it's too plain for them. It's too plain. They like things to be confusing. Paul says, "For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Notice the childlike faith. God tells him something and he just says, "For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." He just hears what God says and he just believes it. That's what makes you a fundamentalist. Number one is that you believe that the Bible is God's word. Number two, and I started to go into a moment ago, is that these things overlap. Number two is that you just believe the Bible in the first place. You just believe the book. You believe the Bible. And you don't need to interpret it. We just believe the Bible literally. I want you to turn over to, Second Peter. Go back to 2 Peter, chapter number 1. I want you to go back to 2 Peter. I want you to look at something here in 2 Peter, chapter number 1. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. You'll hear people say all the time, and especially when you quote a verse to them that they don't like, they'll say, "Well, that's just your interpretation." No, I'm not. I didn't interpret it. I just read you the verse. You won't even say anything. You'll just read a verse to somebody. Verses that people don't like. Verses that will offend people. You know? I can think of numerous of them. And then people will just get offended just by that verse in and of itself. And they'll just say, "Well, that's your interpretation." No. I don't need to interpret. Let me just read it to you one more time. Look at what the Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter number 1. I want you to look now at verse number 20. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." Notice what that says. The Bible is not of any private interpretation. If I ever do interpret something in the Bible, I'm going to interpret it with the Bible. It's not a private interpretation. I'm not going to interpret it myself. I'll allow the Bible to interpret the Bible. I'll allow God to interpret the Bible. The Bible talks about comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, right? Amen. And the Bible is not a book that we just sit down and you can just come away with your own meaning. "Oh, that's truth to you, but it's a different truth to me." No. Here, this is what people try to do. You tell them something offensive, and then because they don't like it, they say, "That's your interpretation." The Bible itself tells you not to interpret it. You know what people are trying to do? They'll look at passages that would be highly offensive today, like "man shall not lie with mankind," and if they do, it's an abomination and they're supposed to be put to death. They'll say, "Well, that's just your interpretation. I think that actually means this, this, and this." You're interpreting a book that says, "Don't interpret me." Think about that for a minute. The Bible says, "Don't interpret this book." And then people get a hold of it, and what do? I don't, you know, this is what it all comes down to. They don't believe it in the first place. Right. Just go subscribe to your own religion. Yeah. Stop taking my book and trying to change what it actually means. Go, and those type of people, they could be, it doesn't really matter what they are. They could be a Muslim, they could be a Christian, they could be whatever, because all they're going to do is just take whatever book that they have, take whatever religion that they have, and then try to twist it to fit their interpretation in the first place. Just go do that with Islam then. Just go do that with Mormons then. Just go be a Jehovah's Witness. You don't really believe the Bible anyways. Why are you trying to ruin the one true religion? Because Satan wants to do that. Obviously, Satan has more interest in messing with the true religion. He doesn't care about all the other false religions out there. The Bible itself says, don't interpret me. You know what we need to do? We need to have the attitude like Paul. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You need a lot of times, you know what your problem is when you're reading the Bible and you can't understand the Bible? Is because you really don't believe it. That's what it is. Even you have times even where the apostles are talked about having little faith and not believing the words that he says. Jesus has to rebuke Peter, his greatest apostle, because he, Peter himself, rebuked Jesus. He rebuked the Lord and told him, you're not going to die. You're not going to go to the cross. And then Jesus rebukes him for it. You know what happens is Christians today, they sit down and they read their Bible, and then in their minds, they may not just be openly, it may not just be open, blatant disobedience, but they just have trouble believing some of it. You know, a lot of time what your problem, why you don't understand a doctrine, why don't you understand a verse, why don't you understand a chapter, whatever it may be, it's because you just don't believe it. That's a lot of the time what the problem was. Paul just had childlike faith. He said, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That's how easy it is. I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter number 20, verse number 45. Ezekiel chapter number 20, verse number 45. Ezekiel chapter number 20, verse number 45. See an example of people that do this. Where they claim to be of God. They claim to be worshiping the true God. They claim to be Christian. But then they just don't believe the words of God. Ezekiel chapter number 20. I want you to look at verse number 45. The Bible says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the south, and drop thy word toward the south, and prophesy against the forest of the south field. So Ezekiel's told to go preach. He says, against the forest of the south field, drop thy word. He's going to go preach the word of God. He says, unto the south field. Look at verse 47. And say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. So we just read that. What do you think it means? I think the forest is going to be consumed. I think that he's going to burn everybody up, right? Isn't that just the plain reading of what we just read? That he's going to destroy everything. Look at verse number 48. And all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak parables? Why do you think they say that? Because they don't like what he's saying. That's the whole reason why. I'll tell you this. Almost every time that some liberal Christian wants to say, oh, that's just your interpretation. Oh, you know, isn't that just like a parable? Hell's not real. Hell's not like a real place. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses say. They say, oh, you know, Luke 16, when like the guy's like, you know, he's like being tormented. He's not really being tormented. It's like it's a parable. What in the world kind of parable is that? What is this parable about? You know, where he's actually, show me another parable where, I can't think of one, where an actual person, a real figure from the Bible is mentioned in the parable. Show me another parable where there's where Abraham's actually just in a parable. Think about that, where the names are actually given. Do you know what really happens? When you start preaching something that's offensive, you start preaching something that people don't like, you pull out the Bible, you start preaching the Bible, and it hurts their feelings, they don't like it. Do you know what they say? That's just your interpretation. That's just your interpretation. That's just, you're just speaking in parables. You know what it comes down to? They don't believe the Bible.
Right.
This is the opposite of fundamentalism. Liberal Christianity today, we have to call ourselves fundamentalists. fundamental Christians because we actually believe the Bible. That's what it really just comes down to. What is the definition of a fundamentalist, you say? It is being a person that actually just believes the Bible. It's a person that believes that the Bible is God's word and we actually put our faith in it. We believe that the words are true. And you know what the result of that will be when we read it? We just believe what it says. You know what the Bible tells us? Don't interpret me. This book is not meant to be privately interpreted. You know, the Bible will just give you commands and will tell you what, you know. And if there is a parable, I want you to go to Revelation 17 so we can just look at an example of this. I already had this prepared, but just like, literally like 45 minutes ago, I'm on YouTube, you know, responding to a comment of some idiot. And the guy's like, don't you know in Revelation 5, that's not a real lamb, like a lamb with black horns, like a real lamb. It's Jesus, okay? And he's like, it tells you what the horns are, what the seven horns are in Revelation 5, and it tells you what the seven eyes are. Okay, look at Revelation chapter number 17 here. I want you to look at this. Revelation chapter number 17, verse number 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. Look, no, just watch this. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. What is he looking at right now? What is he looking at? A vision. It's a vision, right? Okay, now if we flip over, we're going to come back to right where we were in Revelation chapter number 17, verse number 18. The Bible says this, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city. Okay, let me make this real simple for you. Was he looking at a city in the very beginning of Revelation chapter number 17? Somebody pulling up or something? Was he looking at a city at the very beginning of Revelation chapter number 17? No. Would he have needed him to interpret it if he was? He wouldn't need to tell him at the end of the chapter, the woman which thou sawest was that great city. So do you know when it's when it's figurative? You know when you take it figurative? When the Bible interprets it for you. That's when you take it figurative. That's when you look at what's written, and then it tells you, hey, you know that woman which you saw? It was that great city. Okay, so when we go over to Revelation chapter number 5, so frustrating. And in Revelation chapter number 5, it tells you, in Revelation chapter 5, is she looking for us here? When it tells us in Revelation chapter number 5, the whole point that it actually has to interpret for you in Revelation chapter number 5, what the seven horns, I'm not going to miss a beat here, guys. I hope you know that. That the seven horns and the seven eyes, it has to interpret those for you. Do you know what that means? Does everybody understand what that means? That means that he wasn't actually looking at seven spirits. You understand that? Or he wouldn't have to tell you what he was looking at. That means when he looks and he sees, he's actually seeing seven horns and seven eyes. Go over to Revelation chapter number 5. I want you to look at this in Revelation chapter number 5. Go over to Revelation chapter 5. This is a perfect example because we're speaking about, you know, literalism, right? Taking the Bible literally, right? Look at Revelation chapter number 5. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Now look at verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. This is, of course, Jesus Christ. Now look at verse number 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. Okay, when we read in Revelation chapter number 17 in verses 5 and 6, what did John see in that particular vision? What was it? It was a woman. And what did he have to do later on in that chapter, because he was actually looking at a literal woman? What did he have to do? He had to explain it and interpret it. If this was the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, standing in front of him, then we wouldn't need an interpretation, would we? We wouldn't need anything explained. Look again. So we're there in verse number 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Do you notice that? It. As it had been slain. Having, look at this, seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. You know what he had to do right there for you? He had to tell you what those seven eyes were, didn't he?
Right.
Do you know why? Because the seven eyes were figurative. The seven eyes were representing something. The seven eyes were, God interpreted for you. Look at the passage one more time. And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. And then at the very end of the passage, he tells you, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. So you can see very clearly, because it's interpreted, this is a perfect example of knowing when to take something literal, when to take something figurative. You take it literal, if it's literal, what is the Bible? If we're going to have a literal reading of this right now, what does it literally say in this vision? It is. It's a lamb. It's a lamb as it had been slain. It even uses the word it right there. It had been slain. But it already told you who this lamb represents. And who does it represent? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's who it represents. But it's a lamb as it had been slain. And then he interprets for you at the very end of the passage, the seven eyes, it says, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And let that ring in your ears. When do you interpret the Bible? When the Bible interprets the Bible. That's the only time. So you need to believe the Bible for what it says, just as Paul made the statement in Acts chapter number 27. He says, I believe the Lord even as he said it would be unto me. That's what we need to do. We need to just read the Bible and just believe the Bible. And that's a lot of people's problem oftentimes. It's just that they just don't believe the Bible in the first place. We need to just believe what the Bible says. If the Bible doesn't interpret something for you, then you have no right interpreting it yourself. You need to just believe the Bible for what it says. I want you to turn over to James chapter number 1. The last point is being, we are fundamentalists, and we use that term because we believe the fundamentals of the faith, but we actually, and this is the last point, we practice the fundamentals of the faith. We believe in practicing the fundamentals of the faith, oftentimes referred to it as we started out, the old paths. I want you to look in James chapter number 1 here at the very end. James chapter number 1, verse number 25, the Bible says this. Actually, we'll begin reading previous to that. Let's look at verse number 19 first. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now watch this about the word. So you receive the word, but then he says this. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So he gives the admonition here to hear the word, to receive the word, but also to practice it. That is another part of being a fundamentalist, of being a fundamental Christian, is that we hear the word, we believe the word, but not only believe it, we put it into practice. Oftentimes you'll hear people say, well, if you believe it, you'll do it. That's not true. That is not true. You know, the Bible is real clear about salvation. And this is sometimes where people will lead into false salvation, false gospels. And they'll say, well, if you believe in Jesus, you're automatically going to do the works. You know, that's not biblical. We can look at every example in the Bible and we can see that that does not line up with Samson, with Saul, with many different people. We even can look at the apostles and see all the problems the apostles had in their lives. That does not necessarily mean that you are going to carry out the practices in your life. That's the next step of actually being a fundamentalist, is that we strive to keep God's law. You look at a lot of the churches and they have no interest in keeping God's law. That's very obvious. They have no interest in actually following the commandments of God. And we want to be a church that actually keeps the commandments of God. We don't want to play church.
Right.
We don't want it to be a joke. That's the difference in our church and all the other churches, is we are for real.
Amen.
We read the Bible, we take it for what it says, we believe it, but not only do we believe it, we want to practice it.
Amen.
Look at that verse one more time, verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Notice what it says, deceiving your own selves. You would be deceiving yourself. Look at the end of the chapter as well. Watch what it says about religion, because a lot of people say, religion's just a bad thing. Religion is not a bad thing. You know, I can't remember what that guy's name was, but he made like some, he's like some Christian rapper. So that's an oxymoron, by the way. But he's like a Christian rapper. What's the guy's name? Does anybody know? He's like, why I love Jesus but hate religion. Does anybody know what that guy's name is? I don't know who he is either, but he made some rap like, why I love Jesus but hate religion. If you hate religion, then you hate the Bible, my friend. Because that religion, if you hate religion, then you hate God's law. And that's Bible. That's what the Bible actually teaches. Look at verse number 27. If you have a problem with that, you have a problem with the Bible. Look at verse number 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. So does it sound like pure religion is a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing. So if you hate religion, you hate God's law. If you hate religion, oftentimes the people that say that, what are they? They're not unspotted from the world. They look exactly like the world. What do you know? The guy that's singing this song, he's not singing it. He didn't write a hymn. What did he do? He wrote a rap song. He's trying to make it sound like the world, whether it's rap or Christian rock, whatever it may be. They're not unspotted from the world. What they're doing is they're taking the world's music and then they're just putting Christian lyrics to it. Supposedly Christian lyrics. So point number one is we just need to believe the Bible in the first place. Amen. We need to look at the Bible. We need to read the Bible. We need to have a simple, childlike faith. We just need to believe what God said. Paul said, I believe the Lord that it shall be even as he said it would be unto me. I just believe what he said. Think about that. Everyone is panicking on the boat. Everyone's panicking on the ship. And he says, I just believe that God said we'll be safe. You know, I know it doesn't look like it right now, but I just believe that God said that we'll be safe. He didn't try to interpret what God said. He didn't try to change what God said. He just believed it. Point number two of being a fundamentalist, of actually believing the Bible, after we believe the Bible, is that we just don't interpret it. We just believe what it says, right? The point number one is that we believe that the Bible is God's Word. Point number two is that we believe that the Bible is to be taken literally. And the only time that you take the Bible figurative, the only time that you interpret the Bible is when the Bible interprets the Bible. The Bible will interpret it for you. That's what it means to be a fundamentalist. Not only that, we actually practice what the Bible tells us. A lot of people claim to be Christians today. There's a lot of different flavors, stripes, different types of Christianity today. Many different types of Christianity. There's many different types of Baptists. But you know where the rubber meets the road is when we come to this book and we see who actually believes what it says. You start asking questions. Do you believe this verse? Do you believe this verse? Do you believe this verse? And then they just, oh, that's Old Testament. Oh, that's this, that's that. So what you're telling me is you really don't believe the Bible then. That's what you're saying. Oh, that's actually supposed to be interpreted. Oh, that's figurative. So you just don't believe the Bible, basically, is what you're saying. Right? And you know what we need to do? Lastly, if you want to be a fundamentalist, the last point of being a fundamentalist is that you actually need to put these things into practice. You actually need to do these things in your life.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people want to say they're Christians. A lot of people like to cling to Christianity. Right? But I want to be a real Christian. And if being called a fundamentalist means that I'm a real Christian, I have no problem with that at all. I don't care if that's a derogatory term, but all I want to do is, hey, I'm a real Christian. I want people to know that I'm a real Christian. And if that's what believing the fundamentals of the faith is, if that's what the world knows, someone who actually believes a book. Hey, I think that Islam is a false religion. I think that Mormons are false religions, right? There are people in all these religions, whatever religion you want to name, Buddhism, there are fundamentalists of their faith. Do you know who they are? They're people that actually believe what they do. There are fundamental Mormons. There are fundamentalists of Islam. They're wrong. Their religion's wrong. But you know what? When we say they're a fundamentalist, you know what we mean? They mean they actually believe that. They actually practice that. I want someone to look at me, and I want them to say, whether they think it's radical, I don't care. The apostles were radical. Whatever. If believing this book makes me radical, I'm fine with that.
Amen.
Because I believe the Bible. I love Jesus. And I'm going to just believe this book no matter. I don't care what the world says to me. I want to be unspotted from the world. I want to have pure religion. I want to believe the Bible.
Amen.
And if they have to look at me and say, hey, there's one of those crazy radical fundamentalists, I'm perfectly fine with that.
That's right.
I actually believe this book. Number one, I believe what God said. And I believe it literally. unless God tells me it's figurative. He's the only one that can convince me that it's figurative. If he tells me that's figurative, then I say, okay, that's figurative. Oh, that's a city? Okay. Everyone understand those points, right? The last point is this. You need to actually put the Bible into practice. Let's not just talk the talk. Let's walk the walk. Amen. Let's actually put these things into place in our life. And that's how you make a difference. A lot of people, that's what they want to do. They just talk the talk. They want to make a difference in the world. They want to do all these things, but then they don't actually implement these things. Do you think they visit the fatherless? Do you think they visit the widows in their affliction? These are things you should do. These are things you should care about. You should follow all the commandments of the Lord. Amen. You should follow all the commandments of God, whether you like them, whether you don't like them. And that's where it really gets hard, too. That's where when do people say, that's figurative? Well, they just don't like what it says. What commandments do people not keep all the time? Commandments that they just don't like. It's easy to do the stuff that you already agree with. It's easy to do the stuff that maybe you were raised doing. You know what it's hard to do? When you figure out, like, hey, and I had to do this numerous times in my life. You figure out, hey, the church that I was going to really didn't teach that. You know, or even sometimes my parents didn't even show me that. You know? There's been many times where I've noticed something in the Bible, and then I've went to my own father, who's a pastor now. I've went to my own father, and I've talked to him about the Bible, and I'll change his opinions on it. He'll say, you know what? You're right. And he'll say, you know what? I believe that now that you showed me that. There's been tons of times where I've done that. Tons of times. Because he actually believes the Bible. And you know what? If my dad showed me something when I was younger that was wrong, I don't care if my dad's the one that showed it to me, my mom's the one that showed it to me. I believe the Bible, number one, and I'm a fundamentalist. I'm going to change to what the Bible teaches. Amen. This needs to be the priority. The Bible needs to be the sole emphasis of our faith, the sole basis and foundation. We need to believe this book right here. This is what it all starts with. Number one, it starts with believing that it's God's word. Number two, it starts with just believing every verse. When you read it, just believe that it's true. Believe that it is God's word, that God spoke these words, right? Number three is the point, hey, don't try to just interpret everything, make everything figurative. That kind of overlaps with just believe it. Just believe it. And number four, the very last point, one more time, is this. Don't just believe it. Put it into practice. Don't just say you're a Christian. Don't just talk the talk. Walk the walk.
Amen.
Do the things that the Bible commands you to do. Live a Christian life. Don't just tell everybody you're a Christian. Actually do it. Don't just be hearers of the word. Be doers also. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father God, we thank you, dear Lord, that you give us examples of people in the Bible, dear Lord, that make the claim that they believe your word, but then they just want to say everything is a parable. And you make it very clear that it wasn't a parable, dear God. We thank you that you told us not to interpret your word so that we can know that it's true and it's right, it's real. We thank you just for giving us the Bible, dear Lord, and help us to have boldness to stand for your word no matter what. Help us, dear God, to have a tender heart that will believe whatever we hear from your word, dear God, and that will change and that will not be prideful, dear God. We ask you that you be with us and just keep us humble and just be with our church and bless every family that was here tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.